Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Contineros podcast. The podcast is sponsored by Port Pro, the leading operating system for drayage carriers. Schedule a demo today at portpro.io, and don't forget to mention Contineros for 10% off.
Boom.
In the studio today, we got Rob Kelly. He is the Senior VP of Sales at Forum Mobility, a company that I have started to see around here a lot, so I'm curious to know more. So I'm sure you are too, guys. So, yeah, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So you mind telling us a little bit about Rob Kelly and then work your way into Forum?
Absolutely.
Mobility?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Let's go way back. I'm a proud father of three daughters.
Okay.
Beautiful wife, surrounded by girls in my house. My NorCal guy, lived there my entire life, but recently moved to San Antonio, Texas. So helping run the business here in California from Texas. I'll be on flight back there tomorrow. Forum Mobility came about more recently. In my history in terms of my work history, I was a longtime renewable energy developer in solar. Worked for a company called Solar City, who eventually got purchased by Tesla. And then did make my way into, call it, electrification of transportation about 4 years ago as a co-founder of a company called Amply Power. So we were doing something not too dissimilar from Forum in that we were doing charging as a service. So we'd help people engineer, procure, construct charging depots behind their private gates at anywhere, really. Transit agencies, schools, heavy-duty trucking, did some stuff at terminals, even ride-hailing and things like that. But then I met these other guys who also came from renewable energy development, and they were friends of friends, and they were just kind of picking my brain about the industry, what was going on. They wanted to use their energy skill sets in electrification of transportation. And so we had a series of calls and chats, learning from me what was going on in the industry, what kind of subsidies were helping support the industry, what segments of electrification were most interesting. And together we kind of figured out that that California was going to put a big push on heavy duty trucking, and that market was finally coming to be, that the big guys, the Peterbilts and the Kenworths and the Volvos and Daimlers, were building trucks.
What year did you hear about this again?
So, for
the big push?
Yeah. It was once the mandate started coming down from the state of California. That's what really kind of intrigued me was, they're going to subsidize heavy-duty trucking. The state's going to force it upon the truckers whether they want it or not. And that obviously created an opportunity. We weren't making the mandates, we're not CARB, but I saw that there was going to be a need for someone who develops energy, who understands a subsidized market, and could help the truckers transition from combustion engine to zero emissions. I've been here for 2 years, so it was 2 years ago that we kind of decided, and under that name we weren't quite Forum Mobility yet. We were still under the name of the energy development guys. So they're out there building, many acres of solar at the time. But then we formed Forum Mobility. And I've been doing this for about a year and a half.
What's the difference with solar? Like, is it harder to get power from that? Or like, it's not attainable. I know it might sound like a dumb question, but
no.
What's the difference with solar? Like, is that the ultimate goal eventually? Like, eventually in everything, or just, as far as trucks, it just sounds impossible, huh? Like,
it's a big contributor to putting power onto the grid, solar, water, hydro are all renewable sources of energy. Right now, California's doing a pretty good job of using renewable sources for the energy that we use that will power these trucks, that are powering everything that we have here electrically. But solar's not the only answer. It's going to be a little bit of everything in order for us to. There's a big load. There's a huge demand for energy, mm-hmm. and we're increasing it by putting all these trucks and cars on it as well. So, solar, it won't just be, the sun's not going to power everything. It's going to be a contribution from a lot of different renewable energy sources, mm-hmm. and storage as well, being able to store it at times when you can make it and use it at times when it's not available.
Okay. So then, and for the record, you guys came in and took this opportunity as a result of the mandates, but you're not like out here pushing that. You just come and offer a solution for the people that have to scatter around and make a change and That's adapt.
Right. Yeah, right? Yeah, absolutely. So we see that, you know, there's 30,000 drayage trucks alone in California, and they all are going to have to convert by 2035 to zero emission. So that's hydrogen and electric. We're concentrating on the battery electric because it's here now and available. That's the opportunity that we recognized. And, you know, and it also just makes sense to us. Although we're not pushing the mandates, the truth is that, you know, the communities surrounding the ports and the goods movement corridors around the distribution centers, they are some of our least healthy communities, whether it be asthma, cancer, otherwise. The drivers as well been sucking down, you know, really bad air because of the jobs they have. Mm-hmm. So California recognized that. I recognize that personally. And that is what, you know, these trucks are going to be able to do, is going to, you know, eliminate that carbon.
When did you first hear those facts? Like, because it sounded like someone said that to you guys. Like, you didn't just come in and know those facts from the get-go. Like, who brought that idea to mind? Because it's your good intention, right, to come in and dominate the industry as far as, like, this player in the role to clean energy, right, and clean air and keep ARB happy and all that. But, like, who did you hear those facts from? Like, where do you hear that? Like,
No, that's a good question. I mean, I came from renewable energy, so we're talking early 2000 when I started. Ooh, you know, okay. And it wasn't like somebody told me facts. I think you just see it, right? You look at smokestacks spewing bad air, and you can smell it. It's just kind of, it's obvious as a kid. You're like, man, is that really necessary? Look at that. That's terrible. Mm-hmm. Or you see, you know, an early 2000, or think of yourself as a kid driving down the freeway and seeing an old diesel just pumping out that black smoke. I mean, there was no part of me that thought, oh, that must be good. Always just known. But understanding, more directly to your question, understanding that the people that lived along those goods movement corridors and near the ports had worse health than the rest of us that might not be in that area, I think I came to that realization as I was converting from solar into this world. Mm. So, you know, the last 5 years is like, oh yeah, no way. Of course, that makes sense. Look at all these heavy duty trucks going up this. Look at all the communities around them. Of course they have more asthma. Mm. Of course they have more cancer.
I hope that we're at a point where we're slowly getting to that level of success that the government or whoever comes up with the mandates is content. Like, okay, that you guys did good. Because it feels like there's been levels to this. Like, we went through the, like, 2008, or around that timeline, people had to get rid of their old trucks that I'm sure maybe those are the ones you're referring to with the, you know, dirty engines, right?
Yeah.
And replaced them with clean trucks moving forward.
Right.
Right? And there was DPF. Then it's not good enough. Then DEF, and then we also got LNG, CNG. Now we're ultimately zero emission vehicles, right?
That's right.
But me personally, it upsets me when I hear stuff like, it's so dirty, because it makes me feel like all these people like that sold their trucks and bought into this clean truck program stuff, they did it for nothing, because it's still not good enough for someone. Like, that part's being kept out of the picture. I wish it would be brought up, like, everyone's doing their part. Like, truckers, they had to adapt and they got clean trucks.
No, that makes sense. So, but you look and it is making a difference,
it's
right?
Still not good enough, you know?
I think we can keep getting better. I mean, right? You look at just the difference. You said you've been in the LA basin for a while now. You look at the difference when you look across the city to the mountains. And I think today, especially since we had a bunch of rain last week, you can see snow-capped mountains. I guarantee you weren't seeing that in the first 5, 6, 7 years that you moved to Long Beach. The air was way dirtier. So the question is, can we do better? Can it get better? I think it can.
Yeah.
And that's what this next step process from, you know, really dirty engines to the LNG and CNG, and now to just zero emissions, no tailpipe on that truck. So it is difficult for the truckers, and we recognize that. And I do think that it's kind of coming too fast. There's not enough infrastructure to support these truckers, and it is coming too fast for them. So I'm on definitely that is not lost on Forum Mobility. But I do know that we can make that transition for big fleets, small fleets, independent truckers, not only affordable, but likely less expensive than going out and buying a new diesel anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, it's like, why would you? Why would you go? If you got to pay $6 a gallon for diesel, you're going to pay more going out and getting in a 2023 combustion engine truck than you are going electric anyways. If it's done right, if it's done with purpose like Forum Mobility, where we're helping cobble together all the different subsidies that can contribute to a low cost offering, it can be done for less than going out and just buying a brand new combustion engine truck and paying $6 to $7 a gallon for diesel.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys are paying over $5,000 a month just in fuel. So I think the transition becomes less intimidating when you start seeing charging depots pop up and you know that you can fuel your vehicle, and somebody like Forum Mobility and some of my competitors who are going to be able to offer a price where it's like, it's the same. You want to get in a combustion engine, or do you want to get in this cool new technology electric vehicle for the same cost?
Mm-hmm.
Then to me, it's kind of like, why not? Why wouldn't you? Range is the only thing left.
Yeah, yeah. And okay, so you're taking on a lot of risk then, because you're also getting the trucks,
mm-hmm.
getting the land, getting the infrastructure. So what's the game plan there? Like, how will that be profitable?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. We are.
There's a lot of legs that can be, you know how volatile this market has been lately too. So.
Yeah, it's slow right now. And it's been crazy. I've said to a lot of people, I've pulled up a front row seat to a really wild time in goods movement, you know, through AB5, then COVID, and 80 ships offshore, can't get the product out fast enough, and now to this slow point and zero emission mandates. It's a wild time. But so we originally raised about $7.5 million in seed funding from some people who believed in what we were doing. And we were able with that to build a team of about 8 people. Went out and found our first customer here in Long Beach, Height Logistics, Rudy Diaz. Shout out to Rudy. Thank you. We bought 5 trucks on Rudy's behalf. We engineered, procured, constructed 4 charging depots, 4 chargers with dual ports to service those trucks. But I would run out of money real fast if I kept buying $500,000 trucks and engineering all these charging depots. So this latest round, and I sent you those links of what we did recently.
Tell him.
Yeah, so super excited. We raised another $15 million to help grow the business, but we also did a JV, a joint venture with CBRE and Homecoming Capital to have $400,000, $400 million.
Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not enough
correction,
zeros.
Correction.
Yeah. Yeah, that was only enough for one truck right there. to go out and start building this infrastructure, it's going to be a huge, monumental lift to be able to build enough chargers and charging depots just to service the drayage market alone. And our partner, CBRE, obviously with a history in real estate development, is a really key partner being able to allow us to do that. And so with that money, we won't have to keep drawing from the money that we are using to grow the business, but instead in this joint venture, we'll be able to draw from that capital to start building some of these depots that we have secured going in inside the Port of Long Beach and then along the goods movement corridors to the Inland Empire here in SoCal, you know, serving both the San Pedro Bay ports, but also up in the NorCal area, serving the Port of Oakland out to where the distribution is for them, which is more like Stockton, French Camp, Sacramento area. And so we'll be placing these depots all along, drawing from that, you know, almost $500 million of capital to build those. And we'll be spinning off, you know, earnings for the investor as well as ourselves in order to keep growing this company. So that really limits the risk that we were otherwise taking on when I bought those first $2 million worth of trucks for Height Logistics with our own money.
So those scenarios won't play out again then. Height logistics, it was sort of stepping into the field and trying things out.
Yeah.
That type of program won't apply to other small companies that want to. Would you have a program like that for small companies like them? Or
good question. We'll do it differently. So we learned a lot from doing it at Height. One, we learned that we really found a needle in a haystack in that, one, Height had the faith in Forum Mobility, a startup company doing something for the first time that was just going to trust us and move forward. Mm-hmm. But two, that, you know, you don't just find folks that happen to have extra power at their site that also have a 10-year lease on their land in order for Southern California Edison to be willing to help bring in the infrastructure. Those are a needle in a haystack. So if we were to try to grow like that, just mm-hmm. finding folks like Height, it would be too slow. We wouldn't be making the dent in what needs to be done. A needle in a haystack is kind of funny because he actually had a hay baler inside his warehouse that was mothballed, wasn't being used anymore. But because of that, he had this big 800 amp panel, and we were able to tap into that panel to throw those chargers up in a very expedited way that would have taken, you know, 12, 18 months if we were just to do it with and ask SCE to bring in that extra power. So through that learning experience, you know, we kind of came to the conclusion that the better, faster, more efficient way to do it would be build depots that we own and operate that are just separate from being behind someone's private gate. But that will still address the small trucker. What I'll offer to the small trucker is similar to Rudy, just won't be on their property. Probably because we wouldn't have been able to anyways. They wouldn't have had the power. They might not have had a long enough lease on that land. But they will, in this scenario, be able to come to these locations, again, located along the goods movement corridors in their personal car, drop that car off, jump in this fully charged truck, run their duty cycle for the day, run whatever loads and lines that they have, come back, put that truck back in a charger, communicating to them through an app, go to charger 23, they'll drop it off, get back in their personal car, go home. Not too dissimilar from the way they would have if they were working for, through a distribution, through a logistics company where they had to go to the office. It'll just be at these kind of key locations.
And it comes with parking now.
Yeah, so they'll have secure parking for the truck. They'll have parking for their personal car. And they'll just kind of have to not figure out everything that we described that can be rather difficult, but instead just come for a fixed fee, pick up this truck. And some of those guys will want us to own the truck like I have for Rudy. I think others, maybe bigger fleets, bigger companies, would prefer to own their own truck, and that's all right as well. We can both do trucking as a service, or if you want to own your own truck, just sign up as a subscription to my charging network. You'll have access not only to the charger that you parked at overnight, but also along that corridor where we have other depots. So we can kind of we can make an offering for either somebody who wants to own their own truck asset, or somebody who would prefer someone like myself to own that for them on their behalf, maintain it, take care of it, make sure it's running all the time.
So someone with a subscription based out of here might do a trip to Oakland, and then by then we need some more juice. So you have something along the way?
So that wouldn't be the right duty cycle for them.
Right.
Too far to get all the way to NorCal
miles.
On a battery. Yeah. I mean, they would have to. Right now, what we'll concentrate on is the trucks that are picking up stuff at the San Pedro Bay ports, going out to the Inland Empire and coming back. That's really what these trucks can do. You have trucks. The earliest trucks are more like 100 to 150 mile trucks on a single charge. The trucks coming out in 2023, especially from like a Nikola, a BYD, and a Volvo, those ones are pushing more like 250 plus miles. So they have a little bit more range, but you're still going to want to stay within those corridors. This isn't to go to, you know, Fresno. This isn't to go from here to Oakland. It's to go from Oakland out to French Camp Stockton area, or it's from the San Pedro Bay ports to the Inland Empire and back again.
Yeah, but for all the movements around here.
That's right.
Local stuff.
But if they wanted to get more out of their vehicle, they could also come through to one of the faster chargers at our depot, top off, and you know, run another lap or two if that's what they want to get out of that truck.
Do you guys have any interest in having an operating authority, since you're going to already have like most of the market if you do
Not at all. No. We are not going to compete with our customers. What those guys do is too difficult. We've got enough of a challenge just trying to build these charging depots. We're not going to become a carrier.
Well, maybe you're not a competitor when it comes to the carrier side of things, but maybe you are a competitor with a carrier that is seeking the right land, because maybe they want to do what you're doing.
Yeah, so there is certainly a land rush.
Yeah.
I am not the only person out there trying to figure out what's the right location for these charging depots. Mm-hmm. Where can I get enough power? How do I partner with land owners and the utility in order to pull this off? We are definitely not the only one thinking that way. So I have competitors in that. I think some of the big trucking companies will do that, want to build their own depots mm-hmm. on land that they have. I'll be honest with you. After they do it, they're probably going to fall down, skin their knees a couple times and go, okay, now we know why there's so much value that 4Mobility brings. Okay. Let's leave that to them and let's just keep our relationships with the BCOs. Let's just keep moving goods. I don't want to own and operate a bunch of electrical infrastructure. That's not my business. That's what I anticipate. Mm. And then some of them will do it. We'll have to see. I don't really see them as competitors. I see them as just folks that are deciding to do it on their own instead of partner with 4Mobility.
Okay. Do you have a specific, you may have mentioned it, but I'm trying really hard to focus and put my smart brain on, you know, like, because it's a lot of like, it's a new turf for me.
You're crushing it.
So I just see things like in little layers, like, okay, if this happens, then this happens and this causes that. I'm going to show you a scenario right now. Recently, you know that a lot of trucks, right, I know I keep saying that, going back in time, get over it, right? But it's just, that part may be a little personal, I'll admit that, right?
No, absolutely. But
anyways, what's done is done. We're here now. And I just see this pattern, like, of no matter what the truckers do, it's like, it's never good enough, and that shit pisses me off.
Yeah.
So, for example, okay, what is it, LNG, I believe? Don't butcher me if I've screwed up, right? And it's CNG, but I believe it's LNG. That was like the one that doesn't have like an expiration date, I believe. Like it's not yet, right? 2035 maybe.
Nah, I got to put my smart brain on. So I've never been a combustion engine guy. I don't know fuels really well. I'll just trust you what you tell me.
Okay. So the point is during these times, people had the DPF, the DEF, and there's guys that just went all the way out and they're like, you know, I'm going all in on LNG.
Mm-hmm.
Plus these don't have an expiration date or like they don't expect them to get kicked out of the terminal anytime soon, at least, right? So tell me if this is a coincidence or what, but all those 2000, pre-2010 trucks
mm-hmm.
were out the door January 1st of this year, 2023, right?
That's right.
Why this month's been, it was crazy. We saw it up to $10 for anyone getting LNG. I don't know what the metrics are. You know, for diesel, it's the gallon, per gallon.
Right.
For LNG, I don't know the metrics
right.
as far as that sale, but I'm used to seeing like $3, $2.97.
Yeah.
And then I saw someone sent me that photo like, dude, this is $10.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So what I'm getting at is that like no matter where the majority of the truckers lay and whatever they depend on, there's a way to structure that to where they're at a disadvantage. So now that they're assuming the majority of the LNG guys were operating since a lot of the other ones fell back.
Yeah.
So they capitalized on that. But then someone said it's just the timing on other stuff. So
was LNG, when it first came to market, was it less expensive than diesel? It was?
Yeah.
So similar to what I'm pitching right now, that about electricity,
like half, it was. About like half, at least less.
And now it's more expensive than diesel?
That's what it looked like in this scenario.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm really working on my questions, because I know that was a long-ass question that could have been like, you know, shortened. But the point is, like, you think you want because you have LNG, and here you are paying $10.
Right.
Because you happen to be the majority of on the market right now that needs it. So that leads into this. So I subscribe to your service. I don't know how the rates will work, right? We'll get into that. But let's say someone has to supply you, because you have the infrastructure. That doesn't mean you have the commodity that travels through that or whatever,
that's right.
powers it, right? So you got to do your deals. So if they switch it up on you and raise the price up, do I gotta be looking for that? Is it gonna be like is it gonna fluctuate like when you go to the fuel station? Today it's, you know, this month it's $2,000, next month it might be $5,000.
Right.
Are we in for that, or are we able to lock in a contract and then
that's
pay that
question.
No matter what?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's a good reason why it became a long question, because it's a tough one, dude. I mean, it almost becomes a geopolitical conversation, right? Like, we don't produce all the gas and oil and energy, LNG, CNG that we need here at home, right? That's why we're out there fighting wars and trying to secure oil from far off countries. Mm-hmm. And we've got our hands in a lot of other people's business because of our dependence on oil, which becomes diesel and gas. And that creates a lot of the fluctuations that you see in gas prices.
Mm-hmm.
Is this like bigger geopolitical issue that you and I aren't in control of? Energy, electricity rather, and down here we're using SoCalEd or LADWP, it is a way more controlled environment. It will become more expensive over time, just like anything does. But it doesn't just change overnight, period. It takes years to change a rate tariff through the California Public Utilities Commission in order for SCE to say, hey, listen, I have to build out this much more infrastructure in order to service my clients with the load, with all these trucks you guys are putting on. And so it's a much easier, slower change in the actual cost of what is the fuel for these trucks, which is energy. And we can make it here at home. Like when I first got into solar in the early 2000s, I'll give you some context, and at first when I start saying numbers it won't make sense, but it will. I sold my first couple commercial jobs at $10.50 a watt, okay? By the time I left 12 years later, I sold jobs for less than $1 a watt. And this is energy that we are making right here at home in California or in North America. That energy, that's where it has to be made for us to be able to use it. We don't transport electricity from Saudi Arabia, right? We make it here at home. And solar's the biggest growing energy source that we have here in North America. Huge subsidized market. It worked. We subsidize it. First people paid more. It became less expensive over time. But the short answer is you won't see the fluctuations in fuel price like you do in oil, CNG, LNG.
As fast.
No way. It takes years for those rate tariffs to change. You will see it coming for, you know, 2-3 years down the line as they start saying, hey, wow, we need to build a whole bunch more infrastructure in the SCE. We'll have to go through boards of approvals, and then they will develop a new rate tariff, and then you and I will start paying more for energy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a much more controlled environment than it is with gas, where it just changes by $1.50 or 25% over the course of a month. That won't happen.
Mm-hmm. So with that demand, you think, because it feels like they're really pounding this down, or you know, like, oh, for clean air, do the right thing, right? Okay, cool. We got it. We got kids. Most of us have kids, families. We care about the environment, but don't give us the short end of the stick through all this. Because in the midst of this, there's companies coming up with millions.
Yeah.
I don't need to say names, right? But and there's guys scrambling, like, how the fuck do I get a truck?
Yeah.
And other companies might be able to, even that, if the big companies take up the trucks, then there's, why would I want to sell to this one man company?
Yeah.
So it's like, there's a race for that too. There's not only a race for the land, but also for the trucks as they come out.
You're
even
right.
The Teslas, there was this waiting list, and who got first dibs?
Pepsi.
A big company.
Frito-Lay.
Yeah, right?
Yep.
If I had the money, right, let's say I would have probably not got the same treatment as they did. So
I agree with you. But right now, honestly,
I know it sounds like I'm going all over the place. So
no, you're not.
Excuse me if
I'm
jumping all over the place, because this is how it goes sometimes. One thing leads to another, right?
So, no, these are the conversations that I have literally all day. So I appreciate your questions. And these are the questions that the people who listen to your podcast want to get the answers to. Yes. The biggest guys are getting the first trucks. They're also probably going to pay more than when it costs a lot more to make 12 trucks than it does to make 1,200 trucks, right? You need scale. And so these trucks should come down in price over time compared to these first trucks that Pepsi is getting or J.B. Hunt is able to afford or Amazon is purchasing. You need those first movers to, one, iron out the wrinkles and the new trucks and the things that, you know, it's a first time. Didn't work. That didn't work. We've run into a little bit of that with our first deployments of trucks.
Wait.
They need to make them lighter. These are, you know, 8 to 10,000 pounds heavier than the traditional combustion engine truck.
What are you going to do about that? Are we going to get 88,000 gross vehicle weight ratings now, exemptions on that? Or?
So we have a strong government affairs team that's trying to help with some of the regulations that will make this easier, and that's one of them. And I'm no pro when it comes to understanding these heavyweight corridors or anything, and I know California's a little more restrictive at 80,000 pounds, 82,000 pounds if you're zero emissions. That 2,000 pounds isn't enough to make up for the weight of the truck. But there seems like there's other states in Washington and Texas and others that recognize, and it's not for zero emissions, just that in order to move really heavy material, they need to have certain corridors that you're allowed to do it. So your answer is, I think California should absolutely be doing that same thing to make the adoption of these heavier vehicles easier. With that said, there's plenty of light containers out there. Just don't try to use your heavy truck with your heaviest box. You know, take that container and put it on your newer combustion engine vehicle that can handle that. It takes a little bit more work for the carrier, the logistics company, to go, okay, what are the lighter loads that we have that day? Those are the ones I'm going to put on my electric vehicles. But I think heavier weight corridors would make a ton of sense.
Yeah, but it's going to come a time when if we're going all the way on this, you're not going to be able to depend on the combustion engine to cover that extra weight. So
we've got some time.
By then, you'll be ready, right?
And we've got some time, right? Like the trucks that have been kicked off the drayage registry right now are 2009 engines and earlier. So a lot of 2010 trucks had 2009 engines. No longer allowed to go in and out of the ports. But a lot of guys, I'm sure you know a lot of them, they went out there and bought 2014s, 2016s, 2018s, new trucks, and they bought themselves some time, right? You can either operate that truck for 14 years or 800,000 miles, depending on which one comes first. That's a good amount of time for the industry to catch up both on the weight and the cost of the vehicle to be able to boil that down for other folks to be able to afford it.
Yeah. Because I don't think guys want to turn down work because of a couple pounds over. Oh, I got an electric truck, so I can't take this work, you know?
I don't think there will be less work. I honestly think that
it will be taken into consideration, the weight distribution maybe coming in, if it does come to that, probably.
I think the bigger thing is I have big beneficial cargo owners, big BCOs contacting me all the time. Like, where are you guys deploying trucks? Who's got some of these trucks? Okay. I need to meet my 1, 2, and 3 goals for having less emissions, and we want to meet the people that are driving your trucks or have zero emissions availability so that we can meet our own goals. So I think there will be more work for the few people that have zero emissions, that have that offering to go, Amazon, Walmart, Nike, whoever you are, I know this is important to you to beat those level 1, 2, and 3 emissions requirements within your own company and your goals. I think there will be more work, and I think they'll probably pay a premium for those zero emissions moves. So I don't think that's going to be the issue. I don't think it's going to be like, man, I got no work because my truck's too heavy. Mm-hmm. It will be more like, holy smokes, Walmart's calling me, and they want me to move more stuff than I can with my one truck. I better get 10 more.
Yeah, I think that premium will be temporary, though. That's just my opinion, because during the transition phase. But after, once everybody and their mama has an electric truck and infrastructure, then it'll be like, now it's back to this cutthroat who could do it cheaper, who can do, you know.
Like the way it is now.
Yeah, so,
it's going to be a while, though. I mean, there was 45 or 50 electric trucks working last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's not very many.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we got 30,000 of them working drayage in California. So it's going to take a long time before everybody's just got an electric truck, right? I mean, 2030.
It'd be cool to get the TEUs, the exact TEUs that those trucks moved combined, just to see how efficient they are, you know?
Yeah. You know what you should do? You should join me one day. We can go out and meet the meet Height Logistics, come out to the site, talk to some of the drivers, talk to Rudy, the owner of the company, and go, how's this working out, man? I want to hear it from your side. Like, why'd you do it? Are people interested in it? Are you able to get more revenue because you've got a zero emission truck? I think it'd be an interesting conversation for you to have.
Yeah, yeah. I'll definitely, well, you can extend the, let them know. And I'm open to having them on.
Yeah.
Even come on and talk about it. But
he'd love it. Grew up in East LA, Rudy Diaz. I think he'd love to be on your show.
Yeah. Hey, come on down, Rudy.
Sorry, I just offered that, Rudy. Well, I'll call you after the show.
Yeah, no problem at all, man. It's definitely something I'd be interested in. And and just for the record, I know I had someone on here that's very, you know, loves the environment and great guest and everything. And at some point, I was told that the person felt attacked. And that's not totally my approach. I'm not trying to take that. So just for the record, maybe if I do my best to not be, what do you call it, biased or whatever towards, you know, certain.
I'm not feeling,
you know what I mean? So.
No, I mean, I understand. Just a little
disclaimer in between. Because
I understand that
you have some boss to come on here because you don't know how this could go, right? Like, as far as, like, when it comes to corporate stuff, and especially when you got people, like, throwing money at you, it's like, you don't want to do something, you know? Yeah.
No, I hear you.
You like, whatever. You're like, you know, you chill.
I'm not afraid. No, again, we really recognize the difficult position the trucker's been put in, and we're just trying to come up with a solution for them.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of questions, man. Like, and it's not something that probably a question that I have, you know, is probably like one that another person may have. Shit, there's people out there that probably have even better questions that would have you sweating, you know.
Totally. Someone could definitely ask some questions I wouldn't have answers to. Right?
So,
so go easy on me.
So, you know, like, just a combination of some of my curiosities, like, let's go into the whole Flex Alert thing. I'm sure you're familiar with that.
I'm actually not.
Okay, Flex Alert is in California, Edison, I believe.
Okay, I am.
Oh, turn off your, you know, this during this, you know, this time. So once everyone's on that grid, imagine, like, we can't work tomorrow because it's a flex day or something. Imagine, like, what are the possibilities of that being, like, an issue moving forward?
Yeah, I think that it's going to come, that the trucks are going to come on slowly enough where the utility is going to be able to keep up with the demand of the truckers. One of the things that's great about the trucks is they are flexible of when they can charge, right? We've got 24/7 operations at the ports these days. If there's a flex alert for 1 hour.
We do not have these days the 24/7, but move on.
We do not?
No, I don't. That's not what I hear. That's over. Because the third, to feed 24 hours, you would have to have the hoot shift. And from what I hear, that's not a thing right now.
Okay. So, well, you're educating me.
And there's not that much manpower anyways. There is, but they're not ordering enough. So.
Because I've definitely heard a couple of these larger fleets, I don't even know if I can name them, they are operating a significant amount of electric trucks. And for whatever reason, they've chose to do it at night.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has to do with a couple things. One, energy is really inexpensive in the middle of the day because we make so much energy from solar here in California.
Okay.
And so, and because there's less traffic at the ports at night, they're just able to run a more efficient operation showing up in the night hours. I think that there will have to be some flexibility within the goods movement folks. The carriers are going to have to have some flexibility on how they schedule this. You can't just say, I absolutely need to charge my truck at 4:30 p.m. on a 102-degree day when SEE is telling me that I need to, you know, use less energy. You're going to have to be flexible beyond that. But we can schedule around them. And by we, I mean my customers. It's not necessarily me. We will charge the trucks when the power is available and inexpensive. And on a flex alert, the flex alert always happens at the end of the afternoon when everybody comes home from work. It's the hottest part of the day and everybody starts turning on all their stuff, doing laundry, doing, you know, using the electricity in the house, turning on their laptop, turning on the TV. Those hours are always from 4 to 9. That's when, if we're going to have an issue with our grid, that's when it's going to happen. Almost every time, guys will be out driving their truck at that time. It won't necessarily need to be plugged in at that time, drawing load from the grid. So I think with the flexibility of when we charge the trucks, I, I don't think this is going to be the issue for California. But it is a monumental lift. Do not get me wrong. And the utilities are going to have to sprint forward in building more capacity for us to be able to electrify all these trucks for sure. It's a big, big effort that's going to be needed to be done. And our $500 million that we just raised is a drip in the bucket for being able to do that.
A drip in the bucket?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, that we need like 53 chargers becoming available, going online every single day in between now and 2035 just to service the drayage market alone.
I heard something around those numbers. By 2030, nearly 160,000 chargers need to be up.
That's a lot. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
ideally, you want to be the company that is putting those up.
We will be one of a few for sure. Now, I see some really smart energy developers that recognize this same opportunity that we'll be doing the same thing. So it's not just going to be us. We will be one of many that do something. And you've got that public side of that happening already, right? Whether you be ChargePoint or Electrify America. Those guys are already out in front of me. They just happen to be concentrating on different market. They're not necessarily, they don't make, what we make is purpose built for these big class 8 trucks, which have different ingress and egress, turning radius. We're making it for them, where the companies I just mentioned are just as happy to have you show up in your Tesla. That's not always the right thing. You're not going to pull your truck into Trader Joe's and Walmart parking lot and be able to charge. We're making it purpose built for what the drayage market, heavy duty trucking needs.
I could see that happening, though. Imagine I pull up with my truck. What would happen then? I'm low on battery. I pull up to Trader Joe's, backing up to the dock, and now they conveniently have a charging port next to the dock.
They do.
So I could charge while unload or whatever. Let's just say a scenario. Then how would they factor that into the price, you know?
Yeah.
I'm in a foreign mobility truck. I just made up that scenario, but.
No, you're right. I know, right.
Like you said, everyone's going to see opportunities. So.
Port of Long Beach already threw up a couple chargers. And as a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure they're making it free, the energy free for now, for the trucks that come and charge at those chargers. I think it's only 2 or 4 chargers at the moment. And I don't even know the exact location. So there will be other opportunities to charge in other locations. Mm-hmm. And actually, it didn't happen to us. But if a driver went too far on a state of charge of a battery and he couldn't get home, you could go searching for like the right Electrify America charge point, public facing charger.
Oh, I know. It you don't feel so good saying that.
Oh man, it's not a good situation when the truck runs out of batteries. But those are available, right? So we don't make a proprietary connector. It's just a CCS1. It's just like the plug that goes into these chargers, so they can charge on anybody's chargers. Okay. It won't be like you can only go to Forum Mobility.
Yeah, it will be compatible with those ports. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, we totally believe in using compatible chargers with everything. So standardized connector types, standardized communication from charger to truck, which is called OCPP, will be a standards based house. So they could say, I'm done with my relationship with Forum Mobility, and they won't be high and dry. There will be other opportunities for them to go out and charge their truck in other locations.
Oh, okay. But while it's a Forum Mobility truck, is there a way to track it where they charged it?
Yeah.
Where it's billed to you and you bill to the customer?
If they were to charge on somebody else's public network.
Yeah, kind of like Tesla does it. I believe that when you plug in, that's how they bill you based on your plug.
Yeah.
Let me know if I'm wrong.
No, you're right. And within my Forum Mobility network, yeah, they could be at my Rialto station, my Fontana station, my Port of Long Beach station, any of them, and it'll be fine, and we'll be able to, you know, charge them correctly for that, or it will just come off of what they already paid. What if they went to Electrify America or ChargePoint charger? No, that would be a separate deal altogether. But over the next 5 years, I will have enough charging depots in key locations where they probably won't have to go to somebody else's charger anyways.
Okay. Back to the planning on the subscription. Would it be based on kilowatt hours, or will it be like just a flat rate?
Yeah.
For maintenance and the truck and everything? Or
that's right. Yeah.
Do you have levels?
Yep. And it's based on mileage, which does equate to kilowatt hours. But to try to keep it simple, we'll be working with the trucker and say, how many miles a year do you travel? How many, is this a 20,000 mile a year truck, or is this a 50,000 mile a year truck, or is it a 100,000 mile a year truck? And we'll base our subscription on that. And then in order for it not to be really flexible from month to month, we'd have a true up at the end of the year. If you did less, then you'd have a credit. If you did more, then you'd owe a little bit of money because you used more energy. It's like, oh man, I thought I was only gonna go 50,000 miles, but I went 75,000 miles. And you'll have visibility of that through your app of like where you're at.
Oh, you guys are working on an app already?
Yep.
Is it active? Is it on the store?
It's not yet. No, because with only one customer, we don't need to. It's just his four chargers and it behind his personal gate. So we don't have to. What we have been using is a third-party software program. It's actually called Synop. Shout out. And it is, oh, you asked me this before. We are using, in these trucks, Geotab. So the Geotab is in there, and it's kind of doing geolocation of the truck. So we know when it's on the charger, if it's receiving a charge, if it's got 80% of its battery full, 100% of its battery full. We can also see the efficiency by which the driver is driving. Like when you first drive these trucks, have you driven one yet?
No.
Oh man, it's cool.
No. I didn't have my license back yet, but I went and checked them out.
I don't have a license, yeah. And I've been able to. So there's like ride and drives. Ooh. And behind.
That's why it was structured this way, right? It was like on private property. Yeah. So you could have been around the cones.
There was one right here at Port of Long Beach.
But I saw everyone taking off into the street, so I thought I wouldn't qualify. I should have done it then on the property.
I'll tell you when the next one is. There's actually one up in NorCal in 2 weeks. Maybe we can talk to the Daimler guys, and you should invite him. He'll give you a shout out.
Hello.
They're doing it around a racetrack, and they did one at the Fontana racetrack.
Yeah, yeah. I missed that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard
so about I had, that one. That's why I've had an opportunity. You'll love it. I mean, there is not someone that has driven the truck and goes, this is beat. It's too quiet. It's too clean. The torque is too good. I got too much pickup. The only gripe somebody can possibly have is, well, either they're just super grumpy or is range, right? Mm. We're still working on that range. This truck is not meant to pick up a load and go to Vegas. Mm. We're not there yet. But people love them, man. The drivers love them. Even guys that are like, I'm a gearhead. I'm a combustion engine guy. They get in and get out and they're like, well, that was super cool. Mm-hmm. All the fear, uncertainty, and doubt, just like you just see it shed off. And they're like, man, that truck is cool. Mm-hmm. Latest technology, backup cameras, it's safer. I'm gonna make sure it gets you in a truck.
Get that technology on that fifth wheel. I heard that we still gotta get off and unhook them. So, for freaking for that amount of money, you better make that automated, just go, man.
Snap.
Do it like the yard goats at the terminals. They can release the fifth wheel just with a push of a button.
I'll put that request
there
in.
There you go. There you go.
That's another cool place you could run your podcast. You ever done one in the front seat of a truck when somebody's running loads?
No, that would be dope, but. We'll
I don't
see
know how you do it with all exactly. this gear that you need. Just a camera on the dashboard looking back at you.
So at the moment, you still have just the four trucks, right? Five trucks?
Yeah, so I have four trucks running right now at Height Logistics. Mm-hmm. He has so that's one Kenworth and three BYD trucks. We have a Volvo truck that's supposed to be delivered in May. He also has another five Volvo extended range on purchase order through another program called ICEF, Independent Small E-Fleet, which really targets the smaller fleets. So Rudy only has six trucks. He's more of a broker. Mm-hmm. So this is his first five, soon to be 10 actual company drivers that he's had. He's worked just with independent owner operators prior to that.
Yeah.
And then with the AB5, kind of a little bit of a shift into a brokerage model and to include these couple drivers. We'll have five operating by May. By the end of the year, he will get five more Volvos with a bigger battery. You can go 250 miles. I've got another small family-run logistics company also using the ICEF program. Their trucks haven't been approved yet. We've got another purchase order for five Nikola trucks. Mm. Has a massive battery, 753 kilowatt hours, claiming over 300 miles of range. And a couple LOIs for people that just signed up, you know, their intent to use my depots when they're available. That's the breadth of the trucks that we have running and under purchase order right now.
But for them, how many do you intend to have?
I think there's probably going to be a good mix. I don't know what it's going to end up being moving forward. I can't get a good sense of how many people are going to want to own the truck asset themselves, or whether they're going to want us to finance that truck asset, or they're just going to want to secure a subscription to the charging network. Mm-hmm. It could be 50-50 moving forward. Right now, we own them all. But I am getting a sense that more and more people are going to want to own the truck asset themselves. And to be honest, every $500,000 truck I don't buy, it's more chargers that I can go out and build.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And that's what's really needed.
That's what I'm saying. That might be your priority, huh? The land and the infrastructure.
Absolutely.
Because that's everyone's excuse if you think about it. No infrastructure. You want me to buy this? I don't know where to charge it.
That's it.
Hey, I have a charging spot.
Yeah.
Come on down.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So if, it'll be some kind of mix of both. We'll own some and offer trucking as a service, and then we will offer just charging as a service.
Mm. Yeah. I'm getting a little better picture because at one point I also thought it would be like you have all these trucks everywhere, kind of like you've seen those scooters that are all over the place.
Yeah.
Like you just, you know, you hop on it, you pay, leave it wherever. But that might not be the best approach, huh?
Yeah, leave it wherever. That's definitely not the best approach.
Yeah, they have to go park it at your infrastructure, at your location. So.
Yeah, get back to my charger so I can make sure it's ready for the next driver. I do think, though, that you'll see some people. I mean, these are expensive assets. So anybody that invests in expensive stuff, they know that utilization of it lowers the cost for everybody, right? So to have a truck just run 6 hours a day and charge overnight is less efficient than if somebody wants to slip seat that truck. So it's not a scooter on the street. It's not a Lime scooter. But I do think that a lot of people, in order to lower their cost, will have a scenario where first guy comes in, runs that truck for, you know, whatever it is, 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. It charges from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. And then you have a second shift come in, same truck, run it again for a similar amount of time, with just those kind of 2 to 3 hour gaps in between in order to charge the truck. And that'll make it less expensive for that company to run that truck because they'll get more out of it.
It can be like the scooter minus the leaving it on the street part.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to be assigned a specific truck, right? If whatever's in slot one, I come in, I get it that day. When I come back, you might want it in slot 30.
You tell me.
And then the next day, I'll just grab, because that's going to get kind of like... Where's the accountability? We got these messy people that might leave a mess.
You're going right to what I was just about to ask you. Like, I think people, they love their truck, right?
Yeah.
They kind of want it to be their truck.
Yeah.
So we are contemplating that your truck is your truck. But I'm curious to see if people wouldn't be more like, yeah, that's fine with me. If I can do it for less money, anybody can drive my truck when I'm not driving it. Just as long, and it's not my truck anymore. Just give me truck one. I don't care if it's truck 8 or truck 18. Mm-hmm. If they don't feel that personal attachment to the truck, I think we could be more efficient with putting more drivers in the trucks. But I'm still trying to get a good feel for the market. What do you think?
Maybe packages. Have like a package that anyone can access that truck, but there might be limited charging ports. But if you have like... that would be bronze, and then if you have like silver, you have exclusive, like whenever you pull up, like VIP access to the ports, like the charging ports, and you're assigned that specific truck for a certain amount of time.
Yeah,
you know. But if you want to do like a day by day type of thing, then you get the bronze package. So
maybe, yeah, and I can see us evolving to something similar to that,
and that'll be like a more like a, what do you call those cars, there's the high class, and then there's the...
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I'm at a loss for words.
I'm renting a car that we have through Toro.
Okay, one with the leather seats and all the goods and the sunroof, and then one... It still gets you to point A and to point B, from point A to point B, but it's not leather seats. And the AC, it's... Okay, maybe the AC works on these, but you get my point.
I mean, all these trucks are almost $400,000.
So less bells and whistles on one.
Yeah.
But still functions.
I mean, well, the way we come up with a price is against kind of the MSRP or the cost, the amount we paid for the truck. So that's kind of happening already, right? If you buy the Volvo extended range, it's more expensive than the shorter range truck. And so you are going to pay less for that shorter range truck. So it's already kind of sorting out that way.
Okay.
Because if the truck costs less for me, then I have to charge less to my customer.
Have you considered creating like a travel center out of these spots since people will be there all the time?
You know, what we're contemplating is just like restroom availability and some vending. I think most of
showers?
I don't know, man. It gets really complicated.
Why?
I think since people are going to be right there, these locations are going to be pretty close to their homes anyways, right? You're going to be using the Long Beach facility if you live in Long Beach, and you're probably going to be driving a truck out of Fontana if you live in the Inland Empire. So do you really want to take a shower here when you're 20 minutes from your house? It almost feels like it's an unnecessary offering that that makes it a little more complicated for us. And I want to keep the price down for my customer.
Okay.
And I also think that they're going to be by travel centers, right? So I'm not going to make my money off of soda pop and Doritos having you know, those types of facilities. So for right now, I think we're just thinking they need a restroom, right? You just drove for the day. It's be nice to relieve yourself before you jump in your car and go home. But probably not a full-on travel center. That's not our business model.
What if a McDonald's wants to lease the land on there?
He's probably right next door anyways.
All right.
Yeah, just go jump in your car and go through the drive-thru and get yourself some nuggets.
So we covered the whole that the height logistics package might not apply to others. That was just you getting into the market, right?
Yes.
Testing the waters. So that... You got a sweet deal, buddy. That's a one of one right there.
He's numero uno, Rudy.
Okay, so we're almost at the end of this. At least I'm almost out of questions. So, you know, when more people are on electric trucks, there will be more demand for, you know, for the power supply or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So does that mean at that point now, ARB is off our ass, and now they're looking at companies like Edison? Like, how are they, what are they doing to generate that energy, right? Because it's ironic, but like fossil fuels lead to what makes the electricity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you think they'll ever, like, they're on their way to renewable energy as well, right?
Yeah.
So they're on them too?
They've been going down that path for a really long time.
Okay,
and we're not using coal to make energy anymore in California, and you see that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's cool about that? Is that the reason we don't have coal burning plants anymore isn't because ARB made us. It's not because Air Resources Board, not because the federal government is making us. It's because it's more expensive. It's more expensive than building solar. There's better, cleaner energy that costs less than the incumbents that were in the industry before that. And it takes too long to develop them. So I think it's a really cool thing that it's not just being forced on it because it's cleaner. It's because it has become less expensive. It wasn't that way, just how I described how expensive solar was when I first started selling it. It wasn't that way. But I think that's the exact same thing we're going to see in this trucking market, is that right now it's like feeling to the truckers like it's just being forced on them. But as companies like mine come up with business models where we can really take advantage of all the different subsidies, do all the administration, help figure all of that out, actually use people with tax appetite to take advantage of other subsidies that the federal government has created, we are the same price or less expensive than diesel. So it just becomes, just like us no longer building gas, coal-fired power plants because it's not cost efficient.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people just make that decision. I don't want to be in that combustion engine truck anymore because the electric truck is less expensive and it's cooler. Just range is the only thing that's not quite there.
Yeah, predicted it.
That one went down.
Yeah, this one too.
Okay,
it's the first day doing the three camera angles, my people. So, yeah, as predicted, the two side ones died. They don't have an external battery bank, but this one, I can trust my Anker battery box.
Pack, it's plugged whatever. In.
So we're still going. So back to this batteries, huh? I know you got some kind of reference because I got a battery pack and I'm counting on it and right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's not too dissimilar. You can only get so much out of your battery,
right? So the reason I brought that up is because I took a note here of something I saw online. You know, a lot of us do some, you know, the internet has a lot of information. So let's see. How do you feel about this? According to the U.S. Energy Information Administration.
Okay.
Most of the nation's electricity was generated by natural gas, nuclear energy, and coal in 2020.
The North America.
Yeah. Also renewable sources such as wind, hydropower, solar power, biomass, and geothermal, whatever the fuck those last two were. But
yeah.
So they're kind of working on it, right? That's at the end.
Man, I got to go look that up. I want to see what percentage is still coal. And I bet you each one of those coal-fired power plants, I bet they have like a decommissioning date that's in there not too distant future where we're just taking them down.
Because that's from 2020, so it's a little, it might be a little outdated.
Mm-hmm.
But I had some additional. Another one was, where does the U.S. Electricity come from, right? And it had it at 61% of the electricity generation was from fossil fuels.
So that's
coal, natural gas, petroleum, and other gases, 19% nuclear energy, and 20% renewable energy sources. So I'm glad to see at least the mark of 20%. This just, to me, makes me, call me petty or whatever. Like, if we're going through it, you motherfuckers got to go through it too. So
it's kind of like, gotta, so it's 60-40 is what that math just came out to, right? Between, okay. Yeah. I can't wait for that to flip, 60-40, 60% renewable.
Yeah. So just a little something there that I find irony in. If this was not, if renewable energy to have this happen was not on the picture, I would call total bullshit. Like, you guys better try as well, right? Like, whoever's supplying the electricity.
Fix your own house before you try to fix ours.
But I guess it's, you know, it's something that everyone's working on. It's pretty amazing.
Absolutely. You should look at the curve of how the renewable sources have come on. And you know, if we have different policy around kind of micronuclear, it might make even a bigger difference sooner. People are terrified of nuclear.
Yeah, so there's that. And one last thing, batteries. What's the main ingredient in them? And would that ever be an issue? Like, there will be a under supply. There will be a demand.
Yeah, of the rare earth minerals. Would that be an issue? It's already an issue. Like, we need to increase the mining of the rare earth minerals that help us make these batteries. And we're seeing some supply chain issues in that. I mean, we're having supply chain issues for everything right now, right? I mean, trucks aren't being delivered. Combustion engine trucks aren't being delivered because of supply chain issues. Battery, too. I think that all of the vehicle manufacturers are having some supply chain issues with battery. But because it's across the whole market, it doesn't matter if you're buying like pots and pans or an electric vehicle, they're having supply chain issues. I'm hopeful that we'll iron that out. But to your question of, do we need more and is that a pinch point? It is. Yeah, we need to mine more of the rare earth minerals that allow us to make these batteries. And it's going to be another growth sector in the world that needs to improve.
With all this, you know, political crap going on, did you hear like that Biden is going to Mexico to meet up with officials, government officials over there regarding like some kind of business deal for a mineral?
No,
I may be wrong.
It's not immigration. It has more to do with a specific mineral for batteries.
Yeah, I think so. See, I may be wrong. It might be lithium.
Okay.
Does that have anything to play? Because I know it's in these batteries for the cameras and shit, but...
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So that's for the trucks as well?
Yeah. Right. They use that interesting, as well. Huh? There's like... Yeah, it is interesting. I would expect it to... I don't know if they mine a bunch of it there. I would expect it to be more actual battery manufacturing plants and trade agreements between Mexico and North America for you know, trade agreements on... Mm-hmm. manufacturing in Mexico and bringing those materials up or those batteries up. But I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to have to go Google that myself.
One last thing, I promise. If you guys are off to a good start, right? If this had happened right before COVID, you think you guys would have made it through?
I mean, it did for me, right? We started building this business as COVID was happening. I mean, I was transitioning to Texas with my daughters so that they could be back in school live. And at that same time, I took this job with 4 Mobility. And actually, during COVID, we had more goods being moved because everybody was shopping from home anyways.
Yeah.
So COVID wasn't going to hurt our company. I mean, this slowdown right now isn't great for the market, but there's still a ton of trucks out there working, right? And I only need a handful of percentage points of those trucks to move to zero emissions.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really see how the pandemic would hurt us. It was a big boom for goods movement. I mean, think of all those ships that were off the coast of Long Beach.
What about as slow as it is right now? And people want to like hop off the subscriptions. Like, there's always that. There's always possibilities, right?
Yeah, it's going to be hard because they don't have another option at the moment of where to charge.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's kind of a supply and demand issue, and there's still tens of thousands of trucks. I mean, I drove by the port just now. There was tons of trucks.
Yeah.
A lot less than there was 2 months ago.
Yeah.
But so many. No, I think we're COVID resilient.
Okay. All right, man, I wish you guys the best. Thank
you.
Hopefully these guys that are hopping into that zero emission world benefit from the easy access to them with your program. And yeah, I don't know what else to say, man. It's new, so I'm open to, I guess I'm just watching the show, you know?
Yeah, let's have a catch up.
See how it goes.
Catch up in a few months, 6 months, tell you what else is going on, have some places go live. You need to have a ride in an electric truck too. I your fear, uncertainty, and doubt about that technology, I'll see it just fall off you like, wow, that was pretty cool. That truck is rad. Thank you for taking me on a ride. We'll take you out to hike.
Yeah, we'll see what's up. We'll see what's up. All right, man.
Appreciate you.
Anything you want to add? Anything? Where can they reach you?
Yeah, so rob.kelly at Forum Mobility. ForumMobility.com is where you find our landing page, our website, and come check us out. You have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to me or my team. We're also on LinkedIn, very active on LinkedIn, and soon to have an Instagram page so that we can post stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
But appreciate you. Thanks for having me on, man.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for showing up. And
cheers.
Do the Cali fist pump.
Oh, through the wires.
All right. See you guys on the next one. We're out. Peace.
Cheers.